Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. Here we are. We've got Bob Mills and Terry Alderton, Alex Lowe and Natalie Sawyer. It's Wolves v Leyton Orient. How exciting, Terry. Nice to be back.
Yes, very much. Now I'm a team captain. I can't believe it. It's amazing.
Have you ever been a captain before?
No, never in my life. Today is the first time.
What about when you had that trawler?
Oh, yeah, I had a trawler. I did have a sea captain.
Yeah, I forgot. You'd forgotten about that all those years at sea. Yeah. And Alex?
I have never been a captain. I was in the Cubs and the Scouts. I wasn't allowed to be a sixer or a patrol
Why
leader.
Weren't you allowed? This sounds...
Well, I only went for one badge, and guess which one it was? The entertainer.
The entertaining badge.
Entertaining there we are.
Well, let's find out if Alex is entertaining on Glory Hunters. Hello, I'm Charlie Baker, and welcome to Glory Hunters, the show that revels in a bit of fan-on-fan action. Our guests are given the chance to represent the team they've always supported without even having to pass a medical. But who will run rings around the opposition, and who will be out of breath come the first break? It's up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. Now, this week we're joined by team captain and Southend United super fan. I'm going to call you a super fan. Okay. Terry Alderton. Hello. Hello, Terry. Welcome back.
Thank you, Charlie Baker.
Looking forward to Glory Hunters, Tell.
I love it. I love this show.
Looking forward to Christmas.
Oh, I love a Christmas.
Do you?
I love them all.
You love
I'll get to this one.
When did you start preparing for Christmas, Terry?
I think because I have a 12-year-old boy, so he's still right into it. We started probably in July.
Oh, nice.
No, it's about the end of November. It's generally after my wife's birthday, which is the 20th of November. We usually start gearing up then. That's when we start.
It's my dad's birthday as well. So we have to wait for my dad's birthday to go, and then it's Christmas.
Unbelievably.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea. What's your favourite Christmas song, Terry?
Well, I do like a Coventry Carol. I like the old school.
Oh, the old school
stuff. Like the old
How
school
does the Coventry Carol go? Was it?
go on, you're better
Sky
than me.
Blues. Jimmy Hill singing
the Carol,
Coventry Carol. I've met her.
Yeah. Very good. I like that. I will say one other thing though. My very dear friend Owen Parker's got a song on Robbie Williams' new album,
right.
The Christmas Present.
Plus that, he's doing all right. He's on Robbie Williams' album.
Did he write it or he's playing?
Yeah, he wrote it. Yeah, Home is called. He's got two on there, but Home is the one that I like the most. He's brilliant, Owen Parker. Check out the Parker Band as well. But anyway, he's a big QBR fan. Should have him on the show.
Since we last spoke, our South End getting on.
Oh, it's terrible, mate. It's just still rubbish. Oh, we conceded an average of 3 goals a game.
Well, Solo. Tie that up.
Will he down?
Great,
well, let's hope he does.
Defender, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
But give him time, Terry.
I'll give him time. I think he's upstairs. It might be the problem. But,
do you think that's the problem too, upstairs?
Yeah, I do think it's the problem upstairs. Yeah, I think I think that Ron's taken on too much. Mm. I think he's took on everything, and I mean, what do I know? I only know what I hear. But I think you know we had a great CEO, and he moved on to Millwall, and since he went off, Steve Cannish. It's got to be rubbish.
It might be upstairs. It might be the playing staff. It might be the management. Or it might be the fact that your ground is less inviting than the car park of the council flats down the road.
There he goes. I can't believe. Do you know that's the voice of Bob Mills there, who was obviously an Orient fan. And I think the South End and Orient are the only two teams that have the same sort of diss at each other, which is, you all support West Ham, you all support West Ham. Yes. And they all start going, you all support West Ham,
nice.
You all support West Ham.
So. What is it about the ground that's particularly...
Oh, it's horrible. I'm sorry.
It's not a nice ground, is it?
It really is. Don't get this. It's not like Everton's ground, which is, it's old-fashioned. Yeah. Isn't it? No. It's dirty, and you literally have to walk up an alleyway to get into the away end.
To take a corner, the players have to run uphill, if I remember rightly.
We haven't got a slopey pitch. Oh, exactly. The actual pitch itself is a very nice pitch, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, there we are. The other voice you did hear was Bob Mills. Hello, Bob.
I'm sorry, I interjected. Hello, lovely to see you.
Playing for Leighton Orient today.
Because we got through
to the next round.
We beat
Kelly Maloney in the last one.
Kelly Maloney's Millwall.
For Millwall, yeah.
Yeah, gave them a right spanking.
Are you a Christmas man, Bob? I don't know.
I love Christmas. I love it. I love it with the veg. I'll tell you why. Because when I was a kid, Christmas was all right. Yeah, it was family. And then I had about 10 years when I was in London. I was on my own. I didn't really have Christmas.
Yeah.
I had some miserable Christmases. Horrible, okay. Miserable.
Why was that?
Well, because I didn't know anyone. I was living in bedsits. And people you did know went home for Christmas. Yeah. And I didn't, because I lived too far away and didn't have the money. But then, I've been married now 35 years, and every single one of them has been a bump. I make them stupid, like the kids go, honestly, Dad, we don't... That's enough lights. No, you never have enough lights.
Good luck today on Glory Hunters. I hope you get Leighton Orient through to the next round, Bob.
Well, then, obviously, who am I playing? That's the big one.
I sit in the middle.
That's the big question.
Well, let's find out, shall we? Leading the opposition is, of course, team captain, broadcasting powerhouse, it says here. Natalie Sawyer, of course. Another Christmas jumper.
That could be your
Christmas song, Natalie. You could write it and it could be called Another Christmas Jumper. And it could be a story told in 12 yes. Christmas jumpers.
Yes. And I could try. I don't think I'd be very good at that. Maybe you could do it, though.
Write that for next year's Glory Hunters Christmas special.
I'd like that.
We need stuff that rhymes with jumper.
Yeah, we're already in trouble. Yeah. We've all thought of the same one we've gone, OK, let's push on. Can you describe this jumper you've got for us, Natalie?
It's got a mistletoe on it and it says sealed with a kiss.
Lovely. Bit of green and red action. Lovely. And then when do you stop wearing them? Boxing Day? Just normal jumper?
Yeah, pretty much.
Alongside you is actor, comedian and Wolves fan, and that's who you're playing for. It's Alex Lowe. Hello, Alex.
Hello there, nice to be here.
Welcome back to Glory Hunters.
Yeah, great.
You've been on tour, I think, since we last saw you.
Yes, I've been up and down the country. I've got like 60 more venues to go after Christmas.
Still on the road?
It's getting longer and longer and longer, this flipping tour.
This is Clinton Baptiste.
Clinton Baptiste, yeah. So we're going sort of up north, we're now going west to sort of even down as far as Exmouth. We're going everywhere.
Not that far down, surely.
Yeah, well, normally I like to stay within the M25.
So 60 more dates after Christmas.
Yeah, it's going on and on and on and on to June 2020.
Goodness me.
But we've had to say that's it, no more venues.
And this is Clinton Baptiste, who you did for 10 minutes in a show.
Yes, 18 years ago.
18 years ago. Yeah.
So it's developed now. It's a 65-minute show, and I have a warm-up comedian, and it's all about Clinton making a return. He's a clairvoyant medium psychic.
So the scene is set for Leighton Orient v Wolves, a fixture that has cup tie written all over it, although a tough sell for the Sky Sports promo department. We start with a clip of Louis van Gaal when he was manager of Man United, talking about the pressure of managing in the Premier League.
We have won more with 4-4-2 in a diamond. But when you analyse the games, then we have twitched our ass on the bench. Do you understand what I mean? Okay. Because I said to my players, I was squeezing my ass, but what was the wrong expression, because then you are doing that. So I have twitched my ass on the bench.
I still don't know what he's on about. I thought it was something to do with squeaky bum time. Anyway, this year Van Gaal announced his retirement from football, but can you tell me how many combined trophies and titles he's won throughout his managerial career? It's sealed bids. So the question is, you can discuss it amongst yourselves for radio.
One between the two of
this year, Van Gaal announced his retirement from football, but can you tell me how many combined trophies and titles he won throughout his managerial career? Any ideas, Bob?
Yeah. He was very, very successful at some of his clubs. So I think it's going to be the high teens.
Do you know what? If I'm completely honest, my football knowledge of him, particularly before he came to Man United, wasn't great.
Right.
So I'm going to be a bit rubbish on this.
Okay.
Although, you know.
He was very, very successful.
I love that.
Well, you wouldn't get the United job, would you? Unless you'd won a lot of trophies somewhere else.
No. Yeah, so I'm going,
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Here we go then. Natalie and Alex playing for Wolves. Do you want to hand me over your answer?
We are conferring.
Have you got an answer, Terry?
I've given you my answer.
This is your answer, is it? I'm going to open the sealed bids. Here are the answers. Terry and Bob, you said 20.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Natalie and Alex, you've said 18.
Yes.
The answer It's 20.
There you go.
Spot on. 100%. Unbelievable. Not way off.
Fantastic.
But what did he win for United? Listen, seriously, I thought 18 and I thought, but I bet there's a couple of silly little.
Yeah, that's what
he has got. But peppered them in. And I literally peppered them in.
The Zenith Data Cup.
I was going to
say, yes.
So that means Leighton Orient. You will kick off next as both teams try and convince me that they are the biggest team here today. Plus, Sam Allardyce brings us more words of wisdom from the pundit's chair.
I love these players with 2 feet.
That's all to come next on Talk Sport. This is the podcast of Glory Hunters from Talk Sport. Right now, it's time for this.
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
My club's bigger than your club. We want each of our guests to tell us why they are the biggest club here today. They're free to employ any reasoning they wish. However, it's not about medals on the table. This is an exercise in winning hearts and minds. Leighton Orient, you won the chance to go first. And so, Bob, your 30 seconds starts now.
Let me explain to you how you do radio, how you do wireless. Okay. You do wireless the same way as you do exams in astrophysics and the same way as you do football matches, World Cup finals, you prepare, okay? And I did a lot of preparation for this because I knew it was coming. However, all my preparation for this was based on the fact that in all the years I've known Alex, I presumed he was a Watford fan.
I've never been a Watford fan.
So if you want to know why I think our city is bigger than Watford, I could give you a chat. However, yeah. I've just found out he's a Wolves fan.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is improvising.
Oh, great.
There
were
two teams when I was growing up. There's two teams that I loved, Chester, where I grew up, and then Leighton Orient, who I then fell in love with. And two teams that I didn't like, and they were Blackpool and they were Wolves. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because we play in red shirts, all right? Some teams play in blue shirts. There is no such colour as tangerine, Blackpool, or as old gold, Wolverhampton. Old gold. It's not a colour. End of.
Very good. Very good.
Colour based.
Wow.
It's not a colour, no?
Argument.
Not, definitely not a colour.
Not a colour.
Not even
on the Farrow and Ball
colour sheet.
Not even Fired Earth would spit on you with old gold.
Okay, that's why you're going with.
Yes.
Red is bigger than old gold, is your argument. Okay, Alex, please tell us why Wolves are bigger than Leighton Orient.
My club, Wolves, obviously a big club. Let's be under no illusions. I don't know a lot about Leighton Orient. I used to live in Leightonstone for many years. I looked them up in a bid to find something to diminish them. And then I read a history of Leighton Orient that I've got to say was actually very moving. I just want to pick out some wonderful aspects. Not only were they the oldest London club playing in the Football League after Fulham got promoted in 2007, for anyone who doesn't know, they've had numerous financial crises, and the fans, you know this, Bob, have always stuck with them, starting with the 60s with a Pass the Bucket collection on the terraces when closure was a virtual certainty. In 87, a successful local fans campaign reinstated the Leighton part of the club's name. 2017, the Leighton Orient Fans Trust raised £175,000 for a regeneration fund to deal with emergency transition. The First World War, 41 members of the Orient staff joined up with the highest of any football team in the country, and they joined en masse into one battalion. Their final game of that season, 20,000 people came to support them as a result. During the Battle of the Somme, 3 Orient players gave their lives while many others of the club were injured. Some went back again, thus ending their footballing career. They, to this day, send supporters to the Somme in respect. It's a fantastic community club. As are Wolves. But ironically, in a quiz called Glory Hunters, I would like to say that Leighton's fans and previous generations certainly are not. And in the spirit of Christmas, I'm going to cross no man's land to Bob to say, ladies and gentlemen, happy Christmas as I concede the points to Leighton Orient.
Wow, this is unprecedented.
And I will further that by saying, while the Leighton Orient players were sacrificing themselves on the Somme, I'm sure that the Wolves board was sitting around going, shall we call it burnt copper? No. What about old gold?
He's chucked a grenade back into no man's land.
That is out of order.
Alex went all pipes of peace, Paul McCartney.
He went frog song.
Exactly.
That's what's wrong with this country, Bob.
What a lovely answer, Alex. It was.
What about rare almond? No, I said gold. Old gold it'll be.
If you close your eyes, you can't tell the difference between the two sides.
Time now to incur the wrath of the sporting gods as we enter the round known as
Sporting Heretics.
Sporting Heretics, I'm going to invite each member of the panel to share an idea, opinion, or thoughts that may challenge the sporting orthodoxy. Previous guests have wanted to abolish half-time, insisted that diving is an art form, and argued that cricket is actually the people's game. All things that had the Puritans in uproar. But whilst they continue to protest outside the studio, I'll be awarding goals for radical ingenuity and sacrilegious thought. Okay, Terry, you're going to kick us off, going to tell us about tennis and how you think you can improve the tennis tiebreak.
Well, I had a couple, to be honest, for this one this week. I was going to do rugby passing the ball forward, but that would just be obviously gridiron, wouldn't it? That would be American football. And it's, I thought, WWE, why don't they really wrestle? That would be
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? That'd be lovely.
Just proper wrestling. But then I went, no, the tiebreak in tennis can go on,
Okay.
So I thought, why don't we, after each point, we're using the measurements of kitchen utensils, the racket gets smaller, right? Gets smaller and smaller.
This is lovely.
But you can't go any smaller than maybe a serving spoon or a ladle. I mean, you can't get down the soup spoon. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? But I just thought
teaspoon,
brilliant idea.
Yeah, that would get a bit silly. Yeah. But the racket gets smaller.
Racket gets smaller. So when you start off with a racket, you get then a sauce, a frying pan?
Well, I don't think we use kitchen.
No,
the size.
Oh, right, I thought you were going to actually use the kitchen utensil.
It's
a whole other merch angle that they might not have thought of at the tennis.
Using the size.
Oh, you've made it sound ridiculous.
Let's start this again. The description I will use will be in kitchen utensil measurement, right?
There you go.
So,
we understood.
The smallest the racket could ever get down to is maybe a ladle or a serving spoon, but never get down to soup spoon.
Oh, I prefer the idea that it is actual kitchen utensil.
You like that? Okay. Yeah. Can get points for it.
I prefer that. Do you not, Bob? You're not.
No, I think spatula. What you've done there is you've sullied it.
Yeah. Alex, can you not see? Frying pan first.
Yeah, I like it.
Then milk pan.
And then, of course, here we go.
Milk pan.
What does the loser use? A wooden spoon.
Wooden spoon. Lovely. Yeah, the end is wooden spoons.
Clever.
I think it's a lovely idea.
That's just my little thing. Brackets get smaller.
Out of three goals, I'm going to give you two goals, Terry.
Thank you very much.
Two goals, Terry. There we are. Natalie. You think only goalkeepers should be captains?
Yes, because they have the best vantage point of any player on the pitch and therefore surely should be able to read the game better than anyone else and give the best assessment of a team's performance. It gives them the ability to organise their teammates, tell them what they need to do, identify where it might be going wrong, what the threats are of the opposing team. Outfield players are too busy, aren't they? They're chasing the ball. They're trying to make the game different. They're trying to change it around. And why not give the responsibility to the goalkeeper who knows how to handle the pressure, which makes them solid and dependable as a captain? Plus, because they don't do as much running around or tackling, they're going to get injured less. So it means they'll miss fewer games, which means they're a consistent presence in the side, and most goalkeepers do stick around at clubs a lot longer than outfield players, so they'll be the ones that know the club far better than most, and above all else, hopefully that loyalty should be therefore rewarded with the armband.
Okay, I'm trying to think, look at history and see. I'm trying to think of great goalkeeping captains.
Well, it doesn't happen very often.
Are there any? Have we got any? Terry, of course,
Dino's
you're a great
off.
Goalkeeper.
One of the greatest ever goalkeepers, and one of the greatest ever captains.
Zanislav Mazurkovic, I think, captained Uruguay. Yashin, certainly captain.
Yashin, definitely.
Schmeichel, was he captain of Denmark when they won?
I think he might have been.
Are there any?
De Gea was captain for a while at Man U.
Lloris is captain of Spurs when he plays, isn't he? Or is that Harry Kane?
I think he wins around, though. Because, like I was saying, De Gea was also. He was captain a bit.
Yeah. Do you think it works? I don't think it works.
It's very difficult, isn't it? I do think.
Because I always think the keeper is static and in one place, whereas defender, I think the best captains are defenders because they can do what you say and read the whole game, but they're also up and down the pitch as well.
What you're saying is the goalkeeper's got to go to the centre back and go.
Whereas the defender's running around all at
Mickey G.
Chinese whisper, isn't it? Yeah, it gets diluted by the time it gets up.
I mean, I like the idea of it as a sort of figurehead captain, maybe club captain, you know, when they have that, and then team captain. But because I love goalkeepers.
Well, then it's a heresy. Ding ding.
Yeah, Bob, any ideas?
Well, I think, you see, I thought it was a brilliant idea because I thought that Dino's off straight away. But then, of course, you have the thing of, well, if he's not happy with something that's happening up front,
yeah.
If you're a centre-half, you take five steps forwards and say, yeah. Oi, come here. Don't do this, blah, blah, blah. Don't say, don't do this, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, that's terrible
captaincy. But if you're a goalkeeper, you can't. The problem is he'll go out to have a go at someone, and of course his goal's unprotected. Yeah, that's goal. 3-0 down.
That's the point. If he's got to go and have a chat with the referee up the other end, he's got to get, you know.
Maybe there could be a system of maybe a lampsome tube or something like that, so that he could ferry notes out. I don't know.
A WhatsApp group.
There you go.
It's a WhatsApp group. Because the keeper's in goal, he's got time to send a WhatsApp. It'd be lovely.
With his gloves on.
With his gloves on.
And every time they stop for VAR, they can check their messages.
Check their WhatsApps. Gary G's got to push in the midfield a little bit more. I mean, that's good. If it involves the WhatsApp group, I think it's a great idea. Natalie, I'll give you 2 goals, Natalie. Very well done.
Even though they are only being there, they'll have goalkeeper gloves on.
Exactly.
So they can't time.
Yeah, but they can get their special gloves now.
Oh, special gloves.
More merch opportunities.
Big time.
There we are. So very good, Bob Mills. You have got a plea for more diversity.
It's Christmas.
Yeah.
It's winter. What do we all love at Christmas? It's our favourite Christmas. It's a white Christmas.
Oh yeah. Lovely.
White Christmas. We love snow. So I'm happy at this time of year to be called a snowflake. Okay. Oh. I don't care. Social mobility, equality, equal opportunities, diversity. It's all we ever hear from the people who run football.
Yeah.
Okay. They're weasel words. It's lip service, that's all they're playing. Because there are two words which they then sneak in at the end. They say, we should have more BAME managers. We should have more women managers. We should have more transgender. We should have all these people there. In fact, it shouldn't be about whether you're a man or a woman. It shouldn't be about you're black or white. It should be the best qualified person for the job should be given it. And that's where they stump you. Best qualified. What about people with no qualifications? What about people who've been too busy earning a living to bother to be able to go out and get the badges? What about people who spent thousands and thousands of pounds watching football and therefore their knowledge of it is equal or better to any of these people who've been on the courses at Lillishall? I'm going to Lillishall. No, I believe that there should be shortlists for managers of football clubs for people who just want to have a go.
Lovely, yeah.
You can just turn up and say, here's my season ticket, I've been coming 37 years, bang, and you should be in, and you should be given a go.
Have you got your FA Pro licence? I've got my HGV licence.
Yeah.
You're in.
I'll tell you what I've got. I've got a couple of £100, stick that in your hand. who's left this money on the table?
I like the old...
And that would be diversity. And as we lead out now, the Charity Shield final.
In 50s.
Pep Guardiola leading out Manchester City, and alongside him, the Manchester United manager Stan Rouse from Barnsley, who's nicked a couple of quid on the table.
He's a window cleaner.
Yeah, he's fancied his chances, and God bless them, they've given him a go.
And they go, have you got your football badges? Yeah, I've got this one. It was on that you get it free with some Frosties, but why sew it on?
Because the other thing is this, let's not beat about the bush. They love to be glamorised. Oh, we have them on talks. Big Sam. Look at Gareth, the job he's doing. Let me tell you something. I once went to a symphony and the conductor, this is honest truth, the conductor dropped his baton.
Yeah.
Music just carried on.
No problem.
No problem at all. Absolutely no problem at all. Nothing changed.
Remember the other week when Southampton lost 9-0? Was it 9-0? I thought, I reckon I could have kept it down to 9.
I could have done that. Yeah.
I reckon I could have kept it down to 9.
Yeah.
Then we are, but
there you go.
Bob, it's out of 3. I'm going to give you 4 goals.
Oh, no.
That answer is very, very good. Alex, we come to you. Performance of the fans should earn points for the team.
I think so. My lad is 16. He's a massive one for an aspect of football that used to occupy me, obsess me at his age. And that is, what are the other team's support like? He's full of this sort of, oh, is that all they take away? Oh, how much singing did they do? The crucial questions. That's a disgrace how many they brought to Molineux, all that sort of stuff. Now, we all know that Wolves have the loudest fans in the Premiership. That is a fact, apparently. It's from a US researcher called FEB Allegiance. And in August, they took a sound check, and it turned out that the average noise created inside Molineux hit 85 decibels, just below a Boeing 737 at 90 decibels and a live rock band at 110 decibels. And that is absolutely true.
Yeah, a lot of that, by the way, is people shouting, it's not orange, it's all gold.
Listen, I offered you an olive branch earlier. I've forgotten
that. Is that the away kit, olive branch?
Anyway.
imagine the hysteria.
Farrell Moore do that, by the way.
The hysteria that would whip up in any stadium if the fans' performance had a direct impact on the actual points that they earned. I mean, when Delia Smith came out that time and said, "Where are ya? Where are ya? We need a 12th man here." It was only then that it occurred to me she was prepared to give up what we'll call the half-time refreshments, clearly quite fresh, to come down and encourage, you know, that maybe that even came from the dressing room, as far as we know. That the response from the fans clearly does make a difference. You'd also have, instead of the rather pompous analysis on match of the day, you'd have kind of, you'd have a caption that come up with, "Is that all you take away?" And now, Alan, tell me, is this a library? Crucial question, Danny, is there a fire drill? You know, the referee...
Can you see them sneaking out, Danny?
You know, if the referee could deduct points from really the predictable chance, "You're not seeing any more, sit down, shut up." You know, it would raise the temperature, it would raise the playing level, and it would reward the fans who spend their hard-earned cash every week. Award points for the fans. Yes.
Lovely.
I thought it started off as nonsense, but I liked it when they got to the half-time show. And after the break, Glenn, we'll be asking you, do they sound like older shots?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here on Glory Hunters, we believe in letting the people have their say, and that's why we do this. Our esteemed panel are about to be probed by the general public and have absolutely no idea what they'll ask as we play A Question of Sport Time. Can we have our first question, please?
I'd like to ask the panel, what do they believe is the greatest what if in sport?
What a lovely question. What do they believe is the greatest what if in sport? Bob Mills.
We heard his voice earlier on in this show. For people of my generation, people in their 60s, they will always ask the question, what if Cluffy had gone to the interview and behaved himself, not gone to the interview and sat there big head and saying, I will be the manager of England because I'm better than anyone you've ever had. And I will, first thing I will do, young man, is I will sack you. I will get rid of you and all of your committee. What if he'd have behaved himself, got the job? I think we'd have won 3 World Cups.
Which ones?
Whenever they'd have held them, we'd have just carried on winning them.
Yeah. You had me until 3 World Cups. A period of 12, an unprecedented 12-year period of worldwide success.
Yes, with the European Championships in between.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to give you 3 goals, Bob. Terry, the biggest what-if in sport?
I think I've got a triple what-if in the one answer. I'm going back to 93, Euro Cup qualifier. Ronald Koeman.
Yeah.
Ronald Koeman should have been sent off for that challenge on David Platt.
Okay, yeah.
Should have been a penalty, he wasn't. Obviously, the German referee, whose name I'm not even going to pronounce, he's Karl, he gave them a free kick and not a penalty, which we then blasted into the wall. And then 10 minutes later, it was Tony Durego, I think, blasted into the wall. Then, of course, they went up the other end. Koeman took a free kick.
He's going to flick it, he said to Brian.
He had a free kick. He hit the wall.
That's it.
He struck the wall. They said, take it again.
Yeah.
Boom, he scores. So if he'd been kicked out...
When he should have been.
And then, of course, Graham Taylor famously turned around and called, can you thank your friend the referee for me getting me sacked? Yeah. And then, of course, they went on for the next what's if to... Because we had to play Santa Mourinho.
Yeah.
San Mourinho, even. We played San Mourinho and we won it. Even though we went down after 8 seconds to a computer salesman.
Oh, yeah.
And then, Stuart of course, Pierce. They went on to beat Poland, and that was the end of that, wasn't it?
So you think without... A lot Koeman, of if Koeman had been sent off, you think all those other things would have gone right?
Yeah, he might not
have
become a manager.
I think it's too far-fetched, Terry. Too much of a long shot. Too many things have to go right for all that to work out and giving you one goal.
Oh, that's nice.
For turning up. There we are.
Spiteful,
Alex.
Well, if you thought that was a bit convoluted, you wait to this one. WWE.
Oh.
We're going to take you to the world of WWE, which is a billion-dollar industry. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a stranglehold on our wonderful British culture. In 1988, the British world of sport-style wrestling in this country came to an end. Greg Dyke stopped that, said it was too down-market.
Yeah.
The fact is that there was one person in my research who kept the flag flying for this kind of entertainment wrestling. Yeah. Kendo Nagasaki,
yes, of course.
He had an air of magic about him, and it's a fact that after it came off television, he was still packing them out in town halls. And WCW took the place of the British wrestling on ITV.
Oh, yes.
So I'm saying that if Kendo Nagasaki hadn't been unmasked in the ring at Wolverhampton Civic Hall by gorgeous George Gillette, his manager...
What if?
If he didn't have those red-eye contact lenses and that tattoo on his head, if the mask had been ripped off his head and it was just a normal bloke going, well, yeah, it's all a load of nonsense.
Yeah.
Or maybe a middle-aged...
Lionel Blair underneath there.
I'm saying that there wouldn't be this multi-billion-pound... organisation.
I'm not going to give you any points, Alex. I mean, it was a lovely answer and I loved remembering the heyday of British wrestling.
But you were nodding at me.
I know.
And joining in all
but it's
the
a
way
sports
throughout.
Quiz and that is sports entertainment. So I'm afraid no points, Alex. Natalie Sawyer, what is the biggest, greatest what if in sport?
Well, I'm going to take you back to June 26, 1996.
I know where we are. I know exactly where we are.
This was
my answer in my head, Natalie. I was waiting for someone to say it.
Has there been a more painful miss? I'm talking about a certain Paul Gascoigne Euro 96. I don't even want to bring it up, but I am doing, because every time you see it back, you think he's going to stick it in.
Yeah.
That net is going to ripple, and we are going to get through to the final. We're going to beat the Czechs. The whole squad are going to end up being knighted. We're going to go on a big renaissance of English football, probably go on and win a World Cup. Not three. Might have been three, but let's just go with one World Cup. And that 30 years of hurt, as it was at the time, would have ended.
Oh, it's a brilliant answer because I can still picture
that
ball's going in.
It is. Yeah.
Every time you watch it. Natalie Sawyer, three goals. Natalie. Excellent. Can we have our next questioner, please?
Hello. I'd like to ask, who would be the panel's alternative sports personality of the year?
Who would be the panel's alternative sports personality of the year? Alex Lowe.
Yeah, I would say the biggest story of this year is possibly VAR.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of it. I can't stand it. I think that any sport is a human endeavour, has to be judged with all the inaccuracies and double standards of human behaviour. If you want absolute 100% certainty, just go and play FIFA 20.
Yes.
You know, that is programmed by a computer. It won't get any wrong decisions because it can't. No. It physically can't. So I've chosen this person for his extraordinary predictive skills as to how this abomination would turn out. My personality of the year is the self-styled governor, Paul Ince, who in early 2017 spoke up against VAR, and he's been proved right. He said, you know, it sucks life out of football, the gap's too long deciding which way the decision will go, it ruins the high intensity,
it hasn't got better. The more they've implemented it, it's got worse. Too much start and stop. Fans want to go away from the game discussing decisions. That's no longer there. It makes referees and VAR decisions more important than the football. Fans want to go ballistic. It goes on and on and on. Takes away players' concentration. Sand around can cause injuries. They cool down quickly. Finally said, if it's not the right decision, who cares? And I don't really care, because that's the arbitrary nature of being a human being. And for that reason, for this year, for being proved right, I would like to nominate Paul Ince.
I'm going to give you two goals for your Paul Ince answer. Terry Alderton.
We're going to change it right round. It's going to be an international sports personality.
Oh, right, okay.
So the winner is a Serbian farmer who goes by the name of Vasily Komotoski. Till recently, he's lost his title unbeaten in this sport since it started of face slapping.
Oh, I love seeing this. Oh, yes, this is horrible.
Face slapping.
Yes.
And it is the most crazy sport next to murder ball, which is, of course, rugby in wheelchairs. Yeah. That's a crazy sport as well.
Yeah.
And I thought it was quite amazing. This guy has not a lot of press, but since the sport started, has been undefeated till very recently, where he was knocked out. And the rules of the game are basically you either get knocked out with a big slap. You can't defend yourself. You have to take it full on the face. Or you decide that you don't want to continue with the round.
They start crying, don't they? They start crying. They stand there and they start crying.
Absolutely bonkers. So
it's basically how long you accept the slaps for.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, you just go, do you know, I don't want any more slaps in the face.
Yeah.
And that's not metaphorically speaking. No. This is real. Like,
and what's his record? What's his record, Vasily?
To be completely honest, I don't know his full record, but I will say I know what I think has been his strategy. He's worn a beard. Who's worn a beard.
He now cushions it.
So I'm wondering if you wouldn't be allowed to wear a beard, really, but he wears a beard. Nah. It seems the other people don't.
He's a cheat.
I think he's a bit cheaty, isn't
he?
He should have. He has drugged that sport into the gutter. It's a very respectable sport.
Terry, I liked it. I liked you bringing in a new sport to Glory Hunters and perhaps a round we could consider in future weeks.
Face slapping.
Maybe in the final. Yep. That'll be the tiebreaker. I'm going to give you three goals, Terry.
Thanks,
it was very, very good. Natalie Sawyer.
Being slightly different with this one.
Oh, right.
Rather than a personality, I'm going for a team award.
All right.
And actually, you mentioned them a little bit earlier on. Southampton.
Oh, the
Saints. 9-0 defeat to Leicester. When we think of the Premier League, we always think of the excellence, don't we? The world's best that we're witnessing. But this truly reminded us that even at this elite level, Premier League footballers are just like us.
Oh.
And they've given us hope. They've given us the thought that it's a bit of a leveller and that... Well, they deserve the recognition for bringing the game back to the people.
If they'd lost 10-0, I think we'd have all loved that. We'd have all loved that, wouldn't we? The
10-0.
Double dip. We were all waiting for the 10-0. Yeah. But lovely answer, Natalie. I'm going to give you two goals. You. Bob Mills.
Very, very quickly. I'd do away with it altogether. But if you want an alternative sports personality of the year, if you want the word personality in, I mean, Ben Stokes has got no... personality, particularly the little fella who drives the cars,
he's
done as ditch water. He really is. If you want to give it to a sporting personality, Tyson Fury is the only person that we've seen in the last 2 years in this country who has been at the top of his game for the sport. Mm-hmm. He's the best currently, equal best heavyweight fighter in the world.
Yeah,
he's established that, and also the finest personality. He's a superb person. Have you ever seen the man being interviewed? You talk to the man. He's the only person you can say, I'd like to spend an evening with him. I'd like to sit with him with a bowl of soup and just talk to him for 3 hours.
Lovely answer, Bob. I'm going to give you two goals. Terry, you do a lot of very good boxing impressions.
I should be able to do. He's a very easy one.
It's a hard impression, Tyson Fury.
I've seen an Irish kid doing brilliantly, and I was going to try and nick that, but I didn't get around to it.
It's a hard impression, though, isn't it?
Because it's got a Sean Dicey kind of thing going on.
Three or four different voices, isn't it?
But it's like Mancunian, isn't it?
I prefer Nigel Benn. Do Nigel Benn.
Well, the thing about Nigel Benn is when you do Nigel Benn, what you have to do, you have to get to a point where you run out of breath, because that's what you do when you come to talk.
Alex Ferguson is the best manager I've ever had at this level. To be fair, he's the only manager I've had at this level.
This is the Glory Hunters podcast in association with Monty Panesar Loft Conversions. Don't get in a spin, but a Velux in.
Oh, Monty Panesar!
Time now, however, for our two team captains to step up to the plate and argue either for or against a motion I propose. Like Switzerland, I remain entirely neutral. The motion up for debate today is: this House believes footballers shouldn't have to work over the Christmas period. This House believes footballers shouldn't have to work over the Christmas period. Arguing for that motion is Terry Alderton. Arguing against is Natalie Sawyer. You each have 30 seconds. Natalie, you're going to kick us off. The floor is yours.
Well, it's simply unthinkable for us to not have football over Christmas. It's a tradition that is deeply rooted in British football. And let's not forget, footballers will have all the time in the world to enjoy Christmas when they retire. They have a short career, so why not make the most of it? It is a job they have chosen to do. They have chosen to play here. They know the score. Football over Christmas in England, in Britain, is a unique part of our game. In the early part of the 20th century, football was played on Christmas Day, but with the 25th of December becoming a popular family day, that was then moved to Boxing Day. And there it has stayed, and the demand to see football over Christmas has not waned. And let's not forget, it is often a time that a football club benefits from a full house, with the bank holiday helping to garner bumper attendances. It is the highlight in the calendar for many fans to watch their team on Boxing Day. Taking that away from the fans is further showing football is not about the supporter. And footballers could have it worse. If you're that upset that you have to play on Boxing Day or around Christmas, then spare a thought for the NBA, who have to play on Christmas Day since its inception in 1946.
There we are. Lovely answer. Very good. Now, Terry, do you want to respond, please, to Natalie Sawyer?
I totally agree with a lot of that with Natalie.
Oh, and it is end of round.
End of round. No, there was a lot I do agree with it. I do agree with it. And from the selfish point of view, I do agree, you know, because it is a part of tradition at Christmas, Boxing Day, etc., New Year's Day. But what we have to take into account here is the lower leagues. Now, it's not so bad if you're in the higher leagues. You know, you have a morning with Christmas with your family. Next, you know, you're on a jet somewhere with all your mates having fun. Let's assume you're playing for Doncaster or Burton, and you've got to get on the coach up to stay at Doncaster, which is not having to go at Doncaster. But you know,
sound like you are, but carry on.
No, I'm not. I'm going to say this: you go to Doncaster on a wet Boxing Day, or probably Christmas night, and you get there, which is fine. Doncaster's a nice place. But then you're in a little travel lodge somewhere. Not as exciting as what the Premier League people will be going through. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I'm sure, as we saw yesterday, a lot of injuries yesterday in the football. I wonder if any of those were real injuries, because they're going to get their wives going, listen, you're going to have to take time off here. But here's my point. Here is my complete point. I mean, that's controversial, isn't it? But here is my point. Even though I agree with that all the way here. It's the staff that work at the football club as well.
Ah, now we're at it.
Now you've got your grounds people. See, I said grounds people.
Yeah.
You've got your grounds people got to be in. You've got all the staff have got to be in. Yeah. There's going to probably have to be in someone, obviously, on Christmas Day to get the game ready if they're playing at home. So that's my point, that I think maybe for the good of that side of things, we should shut down for Christmas. But having said that, I wouldn't like it.
Terry Alderton completely arguing against himself there, and arguing for Natalie Sawyer. In many ways, you argued Natalie's point better than she did herself. No, Natalie, you had an excellent answer.
And I don't even want to look at you.
I 100% agree with Natalie, but also nurses have to work on flipping Christmas and Boxing Day. Lots of people have to work on Boxing Day and Christmas. Footballers, it's just part of being a footballer. Yeah. I take your point about the ground staff. Everybody likes to work a little bit over Christmas, don't they? Everybody's there enjoying the match. It's good. Christmas football is the best football. It's the best football.
Not necessarily.
There we are.
What's going to cost me is saying that Doncaster's not a nice place.
Here we are. Terry Alderton, live in Doncaster.
I love Donny.
Many tickets.
7-1.
Many tickets still available. There we are.
Listen, I went for there because they beat us 7-1 the other week. That's why.
Right. Okay, well, there we are. Natalie, you get the points.
Well done.
Two goals, which takes you to 19, which makes it Wolves 19, Leighton Orient 20. There we are. How nice.
Still a point up, Bob. He's shaking his head.
Now, Terry, you've had sort of three different versions of your stand-up, haven't you? You started out as a very much a traditional impression sort of guy.
Yes, I did. I used to work what they called... I was talking about this actually yesterday. I started out, which was the old mainstream circuit, the old Butlins kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then you would go into pubs and you'd do talent competitions in pubs I'll work in men's clubs and all that. And I have been paid off. You know, I've literally been in the place. We've got bingo soon, so can you get off, you know? And then I fell across what was then the alternative comedy scene.
Yeah.
And then I started playing that, where I'd have like alternative comics going to me, you're a bit mainstream. And then the mainstream comedians going, you're a bit alternative, aren't you?
Oh, cool.
So anyway,
then you end up doing your own thing.
Do my thing.
Don't listen to anyone, do your own thing.
No, do my own thing. And then through different things happened, and now I am where I'm at, which is completely the other way from how I started, which is completely not.
You know, I love your impressions. I always ask you to do your impressions. I've seen you do something where you do David Attenborough.
Yes.
And then it turns into someone else.
The thing about David is he's so slow these days. But if you make him angry and you give him some fireworks and put him on the Shire, he turns into McLennan. And then goes back to David.
Who's your favourite impression to do?
Well, I like looking at impressions and then doing how people used to do them and how I think they should have been done. But,
having
a spot of trouble there.
Oh, I like that one.
But he wasn't so much that, was he?
A bit of trouble.
Do you see, he wasn't. No. He was a bit cockney and a little bit camp. So he was, good night, Daddy.
See, that is spot on, Terry.
And like in the old days, I used to like doing the bill. So if I was on a bill of comics, I would end up at the end. I'd go in and then do them all.
Oh, fantastic.
But what I used to like is seeing the comics off. So like, you know, you see Lee Evans off stage to Lee Evans on stage and that kind of thing. So right on stage, you'd be like, yeah, right, yeah. But off, you'd be like, so have I been on yet? Wouldn't you come in and go, have I been on yet? You go, no, you're not. You've just walked in.
So if you talk to Joe, right, Pasquale, Joe talks like this in real life. But when he goes on stage, he does all this stuff, right? But in real life, this is how Joe talks in real life. He swears a lot as well, but he can't do that on the radio. Do you know what I mean, love? So it's really weird when you talk to people with their friends, right? It's how they talk normally. And then they go on stage and say, I've got something that will get on your nerves. So it's interesting that when you do impressions, I like doing people when they're not on stage, like in their real life.
For Burnley to win, they're going to have to score.
So, in the dying moments of the game, we move now into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. It is currently Wolves 19, Leyton Orient 20. Losing side goes first. That is Wolves. Natalie, Alex. I'm going to list a series of football tournaments that no longer exist. All you've got to do is tell me which are true and which are false. Okay. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound. Are we ready?
Yes.
Your time starts now. The Tennent Sixes.
True.
It is true. The St Mungo Cup.
True.
True. The National Express Trophy.
False.
It is false. The Anglo-Franco-Scottish Friendship Cup.
True.
True. Oh, yeah. The Football League Stewards Trophy.
False.
It's false. The Dubonnet Cup.
True.
It is true. The Bovril Cup.
False.
It is false. Yeah. Masters Football.
It's true.
It is true. The Texaco Cup.
True.
It is true. The Ball Boys Alliance Trophy.
False.
It is false. The Southern Professional Floodlit Cup.
True.
It is true. The Super Cup.
True.
It is true. The British Beach Football Trophy.
True.
False. The Woolworth Summer Challenge Cup.
False.
It's false. The Inner Cities Fairs Trophy.
True.
It is true. The Cromwell Cup.
True.
It is true. The Summer Isle Trophy.
False.
It's false. The Coronation Cup.
True.
It's true. Absolutely
Alex,
smashed it there.
Fire.
So at the end of that round, you scored 17. You only got one wrong. That was absolutely excellent. Nearly Bob Mills Gladiators standard. And that takes you to a final score of 36 goals. Leyton Orient, you're currently on 20. You need 16 to draw, 17 to win. I am going to translate the names of a number of foreign players and managers into English.
Oh, gosh.
I need you to tell me which are true and which are false. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
I have twisted my ass on the bench.
Do you understand what you've got to do?
Yeah.
Yeah? Your time starts now. Pep Guardiola, Joseph Piggybank.
False.
It's true. Juan Mata, John Bush.
True.
It's true. Mauricio Pochettino, Morris Pocket Watch.
True.
It's false. Louis Boamorte, Louis Gooddeff.
Yes, true.
It's true. Sergio Aguero, Sergeant Collander.
False.
It is false. Iker Casillas, Alan Weathercock.
True.
It's false. Bastian Schweinsteiger, Bastian Pig Farmer.
True.
It's true. Nuno Espirito Santo, Nuno Holy Ghost.
True.
It's true. Dejan Lovren, Derek Plantpot.
False.
It's false. Jordi Alba, George Sunrise.
True.
It's true. Vincent Del Bosque, Vincent of the Forest.
True.
It's true. Olivier Giroud, Olivier Dorbell.
True.
It's false. Pepe Reina, Joseph Queen.
True.
True.
It's true. Sergio Ramos, Sergeant Bouquet.
False.
It's true. David De Gea, David the Great.
True.
False. Frank de Boer, Frank the Farmer.
True.
It's true. Luka Modric, Port Blue.
True.
It's true. Hugo Lloris.
I have twist my ass on the bench.
Hugo Lloris, Hugo Fairground.
True.
It's false.
Hugo Fairground.
I don't know. It was a rubbish thing to give us, wasn't it?
It was rubbish, tricky. Bobby.
Well, at the end of that round, she scored 11, which takes you to 31, which means the final scores are Leighton Orient 31, Wolves 36. There we are. Alex, you are through to the next round.
Oh, fantastic.
Fantastic. Leighton Orient, what positives can you take from that result, Terry?
Well, I'm a Southend fan, so it's all good.
Leighton Orient out of the cup, Bobby. Are you disappointed?
I'm sure
you'll be back as a captain.
You know, I think there are no defeats. Only games that you don't win.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful.
That's it.
Any positive messages for the fans, Natalie?
We clawed it back. We hung on until the end, and then we routed them.
Lovely. Can't wait. Hopefully, I can come back. It's another 20 quid.
And we are. So, to our winners, we say...
Yes! Yes! It's a goal! It's a goal!
And for the losers...
I just thought it was a jumble of junk. You know, they've got to get a grip of this guy, you know, because he just seems to be out of control to me.
My thanks to Natalie, Terry, Bob and Alex. Until next time, from myself and everyone here, it's goodbye. There it is, over for another week. There we are, Bob. Terry, where did it all go wrong?
Well, as I said, you know, many occasions, Southend can never really come together with us.
Where did it all go wrong?
That's where it went wrong.
Wind it back and listen to Terry trying to destroy our argument about playing on Christmas Day. That's where it all went wrong.
I threw it for the Southend fans. That's what I did.
And Alex Wolves through to the next round. Exciting.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the story of our season in all competitions, isn't it? So it might as well be this one as well.
Hanging on in there, coming in, bang.
Very much. Oh, yeah, I suppose so with the final one. Lovely, yeah, the final.
Exactly.
There we are.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. Do rate and review and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.